is at risk of falling in this spiritual battle? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Jesus made peace with the blood of his cross. And if you don't have this, you're going to slip and fall in the battle. So many people, I've seen them fall, not because of a lack of integrity and not because of a lack of purity, but because of a lack of tranquility. Something will happen. Some sickness, some disappointment, some financial reverse, some wayward child, and they lose their peace. You put on those shoes of peace so you can have a firm place to stand. Because if you don't, you may slip and you may fall.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding. Whether we realize it or not, we're part of a war between light and dark, good and evil, heaven and hell, Jesus and Satan. We cannot afford to be ignorant, and we cannot possibly be neutral. In part one of today's program, Pastor Adrian Rogers said, "When you were born again, you were born from above. And you, being heaven-born, are heaven-bound. You were born for the battle, and you were born to win." Ephesians chapter 6 shows us how to prepare ourselves for this battle. If you have your Bible, turn there now, as Adrian Rogers presents the powerful conclusion of Christian warfare.
This is a wonderful passage of Scripture that talks about the Christian warrior. There's several things I want you to notice. First of all, the Christian warrior and his adversary. We must know our enemy. Look, if you will, in verse 11. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That's your adversary. You must know your enemy. He is called the devil. He is very real. The Bible does not speak of him as some figment of the imagination, but it has always been his purpose to pull the veil of darkness over his kingdom and either have his very existence denied for a while, but he really doesn't want that. He wants worship, and he will only use this disguise so long before he removes the veil himself and says, "Bow down and worship me." Now, it's important that we understand who the devil is in our warfare, because if there is no enemy, there's going to be no preparation for war. In your flesh, you are no match for your adversary. You are puny and weak if you come against Satan in your own strength. He is powerful. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Authorities. Now, that's the very first thing you need to understand. That is the Christian warrior and his adversary, the devil. Now, here's the second thing. How important it is that you understand this, and that is the Christian warrior and his armor. We need not only to recognize our enemy, we need to prepare for the battle. Now, if you don't prepare for the battle, you're going to lose it. You are to put on the whole armor of God, and it is to be holy armor. Notice verse 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." That is so very important, that you take the whole armor, that you don't leave off a piece. Now, let's look at that armor, and God describes that armor. First of all, look at it. He says here, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." First of all, you put on the girdle of truth, which is the believer's integrity. Truth stands for integrity. You see, a soldier in that day wore a tunic, and he had a leather belt. Sometimes you see motorcycle riders with a leather belt around. Sometimes you see weightlifters with a big, strong leather belt around them, because that is to hold this center of strength together. And a warrior in that day had a leather belt, a girdle that was cinched up tight to prepare him for the battle, to protect his loins. And on that belt, he would hang his weapons of warfare. His dagger would be there. His sword might be there. This belt was very important, and it held his tunic together, because he didn't want his long flowing tunic to be out in the wind or to be snagged or to be caught. And so he is to wear a girdle, a belt of truth. Now, that belt, my friend, is integrity. It is integrity that holds everything else together. Truth and integrity are synonymous. You are to believe the truth, you're to know the truth, you're to love the truth, you're to tell the truth, you're to live the truth, you're to preach the truth, and if you don't, your life is going to come apart. If you do not have the girdle of truth, if you do not have integrity in your life, in the big things and in the small things, you are going to lose the battle. It is truth that holds everything together, and without truth, everything falls apart. Here's the second piece of armor. That is the breastplate of righteousness. Now, righteousness is the believer's purity. That is, there is to be no unconfessed, unrepented of sin in your life. A warrior at this time had a breastplate. It would be made of woven chains sometimes. It would cover his heart. It would cover his lungs. It would cover his intestines, his vital organs. And without that breastplate, of course, he was very vulnerable to any sword thrust, to any arrow. And so he has to have a breastplate, and that breastplate is righteousness. And what is righteousness? It is purity. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now I'm asking you a question. Don't answer it out loud, but answer it. Is your heart pure? I mean, is your heart pure before God? If not, you cannot win in the warfare. There's a piece of your armor that is missing. Now, Satan fears a holy Christian. Thirdly, you put on the shoes of peace. Look, if you will, also in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. A Roman soldier needed good shoes to fight with. A Roman soldier would have hobnails on the bottom of his shoes, very much like football cleats, because when you're fighting, you need a place to stand. You need to have good footing. In this passage, Paul is going to tell us to stand, to stand, to stand, and therefore your feet need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Do you have peace right now? But if you don't have peace right now, I'll tell you why you don't have peace right now. It's not because of circumstances. Peace in the Bible is not the subtraction of problems from life. Peace is the addition of power to meet those problems. The Bible says, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Now, the only way you can live that way is to put on these shoes of peace. That is the preparation of the good news of peace. Jesus made peace with the blood of His cross. And if you don't have this, if you don't have this, you're going to slip and fall into battle. So many people, I've seen them fall, not because of a lack of integrity, and not because of a lack of purity, but because of a lack of tranquility. Something will happen. Some sickness, some disappointment, some financial reverse, some wayward child, and they lose their peace. You put on those shoes of peace so you can have a firm place to stand. Because if you don't, you may slip and you may fall. Then the next piece of armor here is the shield of faith. The Roman soldier also had a shield. It was about 2 by 4 feet. It was made of wood covered with leather. Because in that day, they would take flaming arrows, dip them in burning in oil, and shoot them, perhaps to inflict a horrible pain when a flaming arrow would hit, or perhaps to set somebody's house or whatever on fire, and these flaming arrows were flying back and forth. And so Paul says, take the shield of faith so you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, why do I need the shield of faith? What's Satan's attack? Satan's attack is going to be doubt. Now, against the Christian, he uses lies, so I put on integrity. Against the Christian, he uses lust, so I put on purity. Against the Christian, he uses discouragement, so I put on tranquility. And now I take the shield of faith, and what is the shield of faith? It is certainty. It is certainty. I need integrity. I need purity. I need tranquility. And friend, I need certainty. I take the shield of faith because Satan is always shooting at me and shooting at you those fiery arrows of doubt. Of doubt. Trying to place in your heart and in your mind those subtle doubts. Darts of doubt. But you know that a small fire can start a big fire. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. And so Satan wants to get into your heart, into your mind with some doubt. Put on the shield of faith. Take that shield of faith and quench every fiery dart of the devil. Feed your faith. Starve your doubts. And when you get off to college, wherever you go, don't forget what you've learned. Don't forget those who taught you. And remember the Word of God. And carry your doubts to Jesus and say, "Dear Lord Jesus, give me the shield of faith." And He'll do it, I promise you. that He will. And that's the believer's certainty. And then next of all, He says, put on the helmet of salvation. Do you see that here? Look at it. He says here in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. A warrior would use a helmet to protect his head. Why would he do that? Obviously, if the head is wounded, nothing else works. And what is this helmet of salvation? It literally means a helmet of deliverance. It's talking about salvation, going to heaven, but more than that. It is talking about a mind under the control of Almighty God. So where you have the mind of Christ, because a believer needs to keep his head so he can fight. And this speaks of the believer's sanity. The believer's sanity. When a person gets saved for the first time, he has his right mind. I remember reading there in Matthew 5 about that demoniac who had been filled with the devil, and Jesus saved him, and the people came back and found him seated and clothed and in his right mind. A person really without the Lord Jesus Christ has a form of insanity. They are not with the mind that God made them to have. So you put on the helmet of salvation. That is your sanity. That is the covering for your mind. Now see how you're to be dressed up for the battle. We've talked about your adversary. We said that he is strategic. We said that he's strong. We said that he's sinister. He is all of these things. Wherefore, he says, take the whole armor of God. Put on the belt of truth. What is that? Integrity. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. What is that? Purity. Put on the shoes of peace. What is that? Tranquility. Take the shield of faith. What is that? That is certainty. Put on the helmet of salvation. What is that? That is sanity. Thinking with the mind of Christ. Now you're ready for the battle. Now let me tell you something. If you look at each one of these pieces of armor and think about it, they really represent Jesus. You just put on Jesus. Sometimes when I go out for a walk or whatever, just by myself, and I want a good thing to meditate on, I just keep dressing myself up in this armor. I just check myself out. Adrian, do you have integrity? Adrian, do you have purity? Adrian, do you have tranquility? Adrian, do you have certainty? Adrian, do you have sanity? Each piece put on with prayer, because what you're really doing is simply putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the third thing I want you to notice. We have talked about the warrior and his adversary, the devil. We've talked about the warrior and his armor. Now let's talk about the Christian warrior and his attack. His attack. We must join the battle. It's not enough simply to put on the armor. We've got to get into the fight. And so many of us want to dress up in the armor and sit at home. Some little boys were sitting around just talking and laughing, and the mother came and said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "Well, we're playing war." And she said, "Well, you don't look like you're at war." And they said, "Well, we're all generals." Now, I think a lot of us want to be generals rather than foot soldiers, and we want to play war. What is it that will guarantee our victory in the battle? Three things. Number one is the place of our stance. Now look, if you will, in verse 13. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand, underscore that. And having done all, to stand. And notice in verse 14, stand therefore. Withstand, stand, stand. Now what does this mean? Friend, we have a place to fight from. We stand in the victory that Jesus has won. Notice what he said in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When you get into this battle, you stand at the victory that Jesus has already won. This is the reason that I say to people, we do not fight for victory, we fight from victory. This is the place of our stance. Do you understand that? If you don't understand that, you're not going to stand. You have to stand in the victory that has been won at Calvary. They overcame him, the Bible says in Revelation 12, by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame Satan that way. Second thing, not only the place of our stance, but the power of our sword. The power of our sword. Look again, if you will, in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, we talked to you about all of the protective armor. fine. It's good to have on a helmet. It's good to have on a breastplate. It's good to have a shield. But folks, you need a sword. You need to get into the battle. And God has given you a place to stand, and then He has given you a sword to fight with. Take the sword of the Spirit. Now, I'm talking about the power of our sword, because ours is a very powerful sword. It's not like any other sword. It's not the sword of Adrian. It is the sword of the Spirit. I love it. I love it. You see, the Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the Word of God, that's the Bible, the Word of God is quick and powerful. Quick means it's alive. Powerful means it's full of energy and is sharper than a two-edged sword. So, I love the Bible because I know there's incredible power in the Bible. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil came to Him. And the devil said, well, if you're the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into bread? He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Again, Satan comes to Him to tempt Him. Again, Jesus said, it is written. It is written. Three times, Jesus ran Satan through with that blessed blade. Now, there's the place of your stance, and there is the power of your sword. And then there's the provision of the Spirit. Now, once you take your place to stand, you're dressed up in the armor, you're standing in the finished work of Calvary, you take the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and then you look to heaven for your supply. So He says, praying now. Look at it. Look at it. He says here, praying, verse 18, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, the prayer in the Spirit is where your supply comes from. Every warrior needs a supply. And every warrior needs a commander-in-chief to guide him and direct him. And when you go to the battlefield, you stand in the finished work of Calvary. You take the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and you offer your prayer to your heavenly commander, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Not just mumbling some mumbo-jumbo. It is the Spirit that directs your prayer. It is the Spirit that understands what Satan is up to. You don't understand what Satan is up to, but he does. I was out in Colorado. I have a general friend out there who helps lead America in the Strategic Space Command. They keep those satellites up there high above the earth in synchronous orbit. Spy satellites, military satellites, the Space Command. I went into a very small room there for a briefing. It was an amazing thing. They said, what part of the world do you want to see? Well, show us Libya. Because Muammar Gaddafi was making some noises about that time. Show us Libya. On a big screen, Libya comes up. And we can see the streets and the houses in Libya. You could see the lights that were twinkling at that very moment in all of Libya. They said, if a missile is fired from here, we'll know it the minute it's fired. Sitting in Colorado, they're watching Libya. It's an amazing thing. I said, how can you tell whether it's a missile or something else? He said, you don't want to know. I said, why not? He said, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. So I said, I don't want to know. And I thought, here, from outer space, they're watching. I want to tell you, friend, we have a commander who lives up yonder. And he knows what is going on. He knows what the enemy is doing. Therefore, we stay in contact with our space command, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, it's so important that we understand this, and I wish I had more time on this point, but the three things that assure your victory, number one is the place of your stance, the power of your sword, and the provision of the Spirit. We're praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. The sword is the sword of the Spirit. He's the one who knows how to wield that sword and to use that sword. Now, here's the final thing I want you to see, and that's the Christian warrior and his allies. We must unite forces. So Paul says, pray. Notice what he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. that I may open my mouth boldly. Paul was a warrior, but he knew that he did not fight alone. He knew that we need to pray for one another because we fight with one another. We are not a one-man army. You're not a one-man army. Oh, if you're by yourself, then you've got to fight by yourself. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says one shall chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. There's a synergy that brings a divine energy when we fight together. We are in this battle together. I need you and you need me, and therefore we must lock arms, join forces, and fight together. And do you know what this church is? Do you know what this church is? This church is just a big battle station. That's all it is. It's just a place where we come to reinforce ourselves. It's a place where we come to get spiritual intuition and spiritual power and spiritual encouragement to go out into the fight, because we fight not against one another, but with one another, against a common enemy. And I'm going to tell you, I'm heartbroken that many of our soldiers are AWOL. They're just AWOL. They're people who think that sometimes when they come on Sunday, they've done God a wild favor. I mean, really, they just come sit soaking sour. They never fight. They think that somehow they can be neutral. Folks, this is a battle. And I want to say several things to you. Number one, you choose sides carefully, because if you don't follow Jesus, you're on the losing side. Choose sides carefully. Number two, you examine your heart and make sure that you've got all the armor of God on. Number three, don't try to be neutral. You can't do it. This is a fight to the finish, and Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me." Number four, rejoice in the victory and live victoriously every day. Day after day after day after day, thank God you're to be walking in victory.
And with that conclusion of today's insightful message, a reminder, as you prepare for your spiritual battle, remember your adversary, your armor, your attack, and your allies. You know, at Love Worth Finding, we love hearing how this ministry and the messages of Adrian Rogers have inspired you in your faith journey. If you can, we'd love for you to go online and let us know. Go to lwf.org/mylwfstory. There you can submit your testimony or read others who've shared their stories with us. We often select stories to be shared throughout our Love Worth Finding community, and we'll always protect your privacy. We can't wait to hear from you. Go to lwf.org/mylwfstory today. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of this message, Christian Warfare, call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD to order. This message is also part of the insightful series, The Bible, The Book of the Ages. For the complete collection, all 12 powerful messages, call that number, 877-LOVE-GOD, or you can order online at lwf.org/radio, or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Well, thank you for studying in God's Word with us today. Make sure you sign up for our daily heartbeat emails, and you'll get daily devotions and message links sent straight to your inbox. You can find that at lwf.org/radio. And join us next time for more profound truth simply stated right here on Love Worth Finding. One of our Facebook friends wrote on our wall recently and said this: "Early morning, afternoon, or evening, Love Worth Finding Ministries always has a message, scriptures, or a timely word. I recommend it to all my family and friends that need a little help in making sense of their lives and of the times we're living in." That sums it up, doesn't it? We are so honored to share the truth of the gospel at such a time as this. And that's why Love Worth Finding is proud to present a new documentary film, Nothing But the Truth, in partnership with the film's producers. When you donate to the ministry this month, we would love to send you a DVD copy of Nothing But the Truth. This documentary exposes the cultural erosion of biblical truth in America and provides viewers with access to faith-strengthening truth from the Word of God. Request the DVD when you call with a gift right now at 1-877-LOVE-GOD or give online at lwf.org/radio.